We're going to talk about loving higher in a way that is such a great challenge for us. And that's this idea that we don't do what we do just to be seen by others. We do what we do in Jesus' name for Jesus' glory. But we're going to unpack that today, so hopefully you'll join me in Matthew 6, 1 through 4. It is four little verses that are guaranteed to get after your heart. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Jesus uses the word beware. I didn't look up what that word means initially and like what it meant in the Greek, but it's this watch out statement, right? Beware. Has anybody seen any beware signs? Yeah? What are they usually warning you of? Beware of the dog. Any other? Beware of the fence. It's electric. It's electric. Dun, 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 dun. You're welcome. You were thinking it, but I mean, come on. All right. I love the sign says, forget the dog, beware the owner, right? Well, Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Beware of living out righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you'll have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who's in secret will reward you. Instead of getting your reward from the acknowledgement of people, do what you're doing for God, and He rewards you. And there's a lot that I'm going to unpack today, but John and Josh and I tried to get together on Mondays and rehash what we talked about and kind of like, hey, what did service look like and how did it work, and just really review it and then look for the weeks coming up. And we try to go even further months in advance. And I need that kind of help. Back to the ADD and the reminder, that's not how my mind works. I don't usually prepare that far in advance. So I need brothers like that to help me. And they do. But Josh said something in one of our meetings, and I wrote it down, and I think it's something that is going to be with me until I lose my mind or I lose my life. Check this out. It's easy to write a check. It's a lot harder to check your heart. It's easy to write a check. For some of you, you're like, no, it's not. I don't even have checks. Some of you are like, no, I don't have money, so it's not that easy to write a check. I think for most of us, we'd much rather give something than give our heart. And so today's message is a heart check. I think all of this Sermon on the Mount is a heart check, if we're just being real. It keeps coming in layers upon layers. I even talked last week about giving, not even trying to prepare for this. People who need help, Jesus says, look, if they ask you, they beg of you, you have something you can give, give. The needy, he said, will always be with you. He also said, but I won't be. Now, he's always with us because of his Spirit, but at that moment, he was telling people, and it was when Mary took this alabaster jar, which was super expensive. The jar itself was expensive, but then it had expensive perfume, and she broke it, and she put it on Jesus, anointing him for his death. And a couple of them are like, gosh, if that was 3 years worth of wages. If you sold that, you could give it to the poor. I mean, it's always expected that you would take care of people. Jesus expected that. And he's like, yes, you're going to be taking care of people, but let me give you a heart check. Are you doing it so people see you do it, or are you doing it for the Lord? Why would you practice righteousness, and where does righteousness even come from in the first place? So let me go back to Matthew 6, 1 for a second here. Beware, Jesus says, of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Righteousness is not primarily a matter between you and people. primarily, foremost, the number one thing about righteousness is that it's between you and God. You're responding to his righteousness. I'm responding to his righteousness. So this is the heart check, and here's a question for you. What's our motivation for practicing righteousness? Today, we're just talking about the giving to the needy, but he talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting. So let me remind you that there is righteousness that God calls us to. That's a personal discipline. But it's not for us to have this public recognition for doing it. It's for us to draw nearer to God and his likeness, to be more like him, to practice righteousness. Righteousness gets its root in him. If something's right, it's because he says so. We live in a world that's really put that to flight. Whatever feels right is right. Whatever looks right to you. Well, God defines what righteousness is. But let me bring you back. What's our motivation for practicing righteousness? What do you guys think? What are some of the reasons why people practice righteousness? Some of the reasons why they do the right things? To please God. Amen. Guilt. Help me understand that one a little bit, because I have some ideas on that of my own, why I have it. What do you think, bro?
Well, I feel like I've done too much of that, now I've got to do more of God stuff.
So balance it out with some God stuff, because I did some bad stuff. So if I do enough good things, maybe like the movie Ghost, it'll balance out. You're welcome for anybody who's not seen that in a while. That's good. What else? Why do we do righteous things?
That's what you're expected to do.
That's what
maybe parents or pastors or teachers or whatever.
Expected to do it by those in your life that you either respect or fear or whatever. Okay, that's good.
I'm gonna say pride.
Pride? Mm-hmm. I'm a good person, I should do good things.
Well, I'm just when you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You feel good.
Yeah. These are all good. Any other thoughts come to your mind before I go on a couple of answers that have just really been hitting me this week? All right.
I do it because Jesus wants us to do it.
Do it because Jesus wants us to do it. God said so, I'm going to do it. David, you feel like that's pretty pure? I mean, that's a pure motive, right? God said so I'm just going to do it. Even if people don't see it or recognize me. Amen. That's the best answer, and that's the last one we land on, absolutely. Well, he talks about this reward from your Father who's in heaven. We could call that a lot of things, but most people think the greatest reward from heaven is salvation. To be saved, to be set free from what we deserve, from the bad things like Brandon talked about that we do and we deserve suffering for, we deserve consequence for, and he delivered us from that to life. But we actually believe in our own hearts that somehow we can earn that. And we have to like continually give that over, which I think communion and remembering and memorial is probably a great reminder that you couldn't. Only God could. But this idea of reward, this idea of earning reward, is a big reason why people do good things, especially for those who are in need. It's right to do things for those who are in need. It's godly. Every one of us was in need. But earning salvation isn't possible. As a matter of fact, it's spoken against multiple times. The most significant place is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. If you want to join me there, great. If not, I'll just read it for you. It'll be on the screen for you if you don't have your Bibles. It's talking about Jesus and him seating us in heavenly places and his immeasurable grace. And then he says this, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. It's not a result of your works so that no one may boast. For we're actually his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Not by our good works, but for our good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I hope this hits you new today, but I know that I share this a lot. Other preachers share this a lot. It's by grace through faith, and faith isn't even from you. God gave that to you as well, and it's all about Him. So we can't earn salvation. You don't do your good things, so God looks at you and goes, all right, Andrea, good work. Finally, I can have you in because you did the things you should have done. It says in Isaiah that our good deeds are actually like menstrual rags to God. That's graphic. Yeah, it is. God's saying, don't think it's you that can do it. Don't do this to earn something because you actually can't. How about the idea that we constantly are doing things for the approval of people, like you're saying, Ben? We look for the approval or the praise of people. And I am a people pleaser. And this has been the biggest heart check for me this week. I'm real clear that I can't earn salvation. That doesn't mean sometimes I don't try to earn God's approval or His acceptance of me as if you could earn it. But that's not as much of a struggle for me as it is to be acknowledged by people. If I'm just being honest with you, sometimes I'll sit in the back of the room during worship service so I'm not being seen by others. Back when we were meeting all the time right in here, I'd sit up front because I didn't want to be distracted by other people. If I'm, again, back to the ADD thing, I don't want to worry about what's happening. I want to just focus in on God. He's been checking me on that one during this whole COVID time. It's like, it really is just Him and me. But I get to be part of this great body, and I love that. And it's a very Western way of thinking that it's just you and God. But it starts there, right? And then goes to the body. You're a part of something bigger than you, but it's you and God. God isn't saying, is your neighbor Bill in on this? Is your wife in on this? It's you and him. And then we move from there, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. But the church doesn't save us. Jesus does. But people, the praise of people and the approval of people is something that is a constant check. Why do you do the good things that you're doing? Is it so other people recognize you? Jesus said right there, we just read it. Well, that's your reward then, is that people go, oh, he's a good guy. She's a great gal. Does anybody use the word gal anymore? You're welcome. I think this one might be just for me, but I'll share it with you too. Galatians 1:10. Paul's talking about there's no other gospel other than Jesus Christ paying the price for you. And if anybody gives you a different gospel, that's messed up. Don't listen to it. And then he says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a bondservant, a slave of Christ. If I was worried about what everybody else thought, I wouldn't be serving Jesus. I would be serving them. I'd be doing what I'm doing for them and their recognition. He's like, I tell the truth because people need it. But I'm pointing them to God. That's who I aim to please. That's who I'm living for. That's where the works that we do, it says in Matthew 6, people would see. Well, Matthew 5, they see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. We do what we're doing for the glory of God. But many of us, like me, will try to do what we're doing so people see us and go, oh, they're good. I want to be an example, but I want to be an offering first. I want to be honoring God and then honoring people. Keep it in that order. Jesus said, right? Love him with all that you have, and then love your neighbors, you love yourself. This is a constant check for us. And just as a strong reminder, and last week I looked at 1 Peter 1, 20 through 24. I want to look at that with you one more time, but just verse 24. If you're wondering why people-pleasing is futile, look at this. 1 Peter 1:24 says, all flesh is like grass, in all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. Man's glory isn't worth living for. It doesn't last. So these three things we just looked at. We can't earn anything from God. Man isn't God. And man's glory doesn't last. If you're trying to do things so people think you're great, your aim's too low. There's a rapper that I love. He's an amazing mind. He's an amazing speaker. He's an amazing voice. His name's Lecrae Moore. He has this line in one of his songs. If you see me giving somebody something to eat, you better thank Jesus because I ain't that sweet. Just the very reality that we get to do good things. We get to practice righteousness is a gift from God. That's who we're doing it for. So to David's answer, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, the reason why we would practice righteousness is honoring Jesus. Why do you do what you do? If you're doing it for people, your reward is very limited and certainly not lasting. You do it for Jesus, now we're into some fruit that lasts. You can check out Ephesians if you want to learn more about that. But we're going to go to Colossians 3, 23, 24. I love sports. I constantly refer to them. There's a guy named Marshawn Lynch, and he's famous for beast mode. This guy just goes, right? He just thumps people, runs over people. This beast mode is this idea that you keep going no matter what. Keep your feet going is what we would coach in football. Well, this Colossians 3:23 gives a new, and 24 gives a new meaning to beast mode for me. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. Honoring Jesus is whatever you do it for God. You go beast mode because you're honoring the Lord and your reward comes from him. People can say, oh man, I love Hayden. What a great guy. But what if God's like, Hayden? Hayden who? But we have so many people in our lives that want to acknowledge us and recognize us and truly want to be acknowledged and recognized by us that we start to take our minds off of God and put it on people because they are immediately responding. They're giving you recognition. Truly on the socials, they're giving you likes or retweets. Or they even pay money to you because of what you say. If they like it enough. What about us actually serving God the way Jesus says? Now, I don't have it on the screen, and I wanted to read it to you instead today. But I read you Matthew 6, 1 through 4, and I just read 1. I want to read you 2 through 4. This is what Jesus says giving should look like. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, not if, by the way, when, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. How's that even possible? Here we go with some hyperbole and some rhetoric again. Jesus is coming straight at us with something that seems impossible. So don't do what you're doing for the needy, for those who are in need. Don't do it to be seen by people. Be so into living this lifestyle that you can't even remember what you did. Maybe I did. So many of us actually get a financial benefit from charitable giving. I'm not claiming that's wrong or bad. I'm saying if your motivation, back to the heart check for a second, if your motivation for giving is what you get in return, not what you're giving and how you're honoring God, then you're giving for the wrong reason. Indeed, you can do the right thing for the wrong reason. He says, don't let your right hand or left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who's in secret will reward you. I want to let that sit for a second before I ask this next question. I want to see where this is happening for you. We've got a little bit of time. I want to ask, is anybody hearing something from God this morning about their acts of righteousness, about doing good things, and the motivation of why you do it? Is there anybody besides me that's feeling a little pinch? Yeah. Go with what God might be calling you to do, to give still. Just don't make a big deal out of it. We had a thing called Caleb's Dream, and we trumpeted helping people. If the main motivation is to be seen by people, then you shouldn't be doing it. But God's not saying just don't do it at all. He said do it for the right reasons. So repent, keep giving, but do it in a way that doesn't look at me. My mom used to say, Aaron, you talk so much about yourself. And I'm 50 and I still find myself doing that. I'm telling you a story about myself right now. It's not about me. So here's the question. Some of you might be going a little bit deeper in this, going, oh, so should we always give anonymously? Is that the only way giving should be, is anonymous? It seems almost like the word is saying that. Definitely seems like the Lord might be saying that. But I'm going to remind you that in Acts, Acts 4 in particular, we find out about a group of people that gave, and one of them gets named. How does somebody get named for giving if they gave anonymously? Let me give you the quick answer because it's Sunday morning and we're tired. You don't. People knew. Here we go. Acts 4, 34 through 37. There was not a needy person among this first church, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. So how did they know this happened? Because it was public giving. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, he was a Levite, a native of Cyprus. He sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, Luke is writing this, and he's writing about Barnabas. He's writing about the son of encouragement because he'd been encouraged by him. Let other people say stuff about you. Don't you say stuff about you. Don't you go and say, oh, I anonymously gave. Not anymore. That's like when somebody said, well, in my humble opinion, too late. You point out that your opinion's humble, it's no longer humble. If you're giving, it's okay to give that other people would see. The call from Jesus is don't give because other people will see. Give because you're serving the Lord. So should all giving be anonymous? 2 Corinthians 8 talks about a complete group of people who gave, and they weren't anonymous, but Paul was making much of them. It was the Macedonians, and they had this terrible poverty and this severe need met extreme generosity. And they gave. And they're pointed out as people that gave for the right reason. So if you give and people will see it, don't give for them to see it. Give to the glory of God. And I'll answer this. Not all giving should be anonymous. But remember Ananias and Sapphira. also from the book of Acts. In Acts 5, they gave like everybody else was giving, except they did something different. They gave with the hopes that people would think they were more righteous than they were. They lied about how much they were giving. We ought not to point out at all that we're giving, but we certainly ought not to lie about it. I'll say to you again, this is a heart check. So I want to remind you to check your heart before you write your check. And one of the greatest turn of events that has happened in my life in a while, I'm done before 10 o'clock. God wanted me and told me pretty clearly, keep this simple. And I think that this is so simple that some of you might have checked out. So I want to remind you that we have questions to discuss this. I would encourage you to go back and read through just those four verses together and discuss this passage. Question four says, before your next act of righteousness, like giving to those in need, please ask yourself two questions. Would I do this if no one else knew I was doing it? And am I doing this to honor God or myself? God, I want to be a kind of guy that honors you and doesn't point it out. I ask that for my family in Christ. I ask that for your people all over the world that are my family in Christ. I pray for the Aaron and Kathy Day family that we would be people who do what's right and not make a big deal out of it. I pray, Lord Jesus, that people would see you and your grace and your kindness, and they would give because you gave first. I pray that we'd be more like Barnabas and less like Ananias and Sapphira. I pray we'd be more like Jesus and live for him than like the Pharisees and the leaders around him that did what they did to be recognized by people. Help us not to look for the seats of honor, the parking place of honor, the recognition, but help us to look to be more like you. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. That does mean that you have to live it out loud. Just don't make a big deal out of you. Make a big deal out of Jesus. God bless you. Have a great weekend.